All right, I'm Ed Anderson, and I went with Dwayne to the Philippines. Actually, I've been three times to the Philippines. The first time was 6.5 years ago with Brother Harry. And then a year and a half ago, Dwayne and I went, and then we went again in February this year. But I also have a lot of work that we do in Mexico. Let me explain a little bit that Dwayne and I are retired. Dwayne used to work in construction. I had a civil service job with the federal government, and we both retired, and we're now able to spend time doing evangelistic work. The Lord has blessed us, and we're able to do that. And so when Harry saw himself in the twilight years, and Brother Billy Arbonneau also from our congregation saw himself in twilight years, there was a vacuum of who's going to take over the evangelistic work in Africa and Mexico and the Philippines. And we sort of got sucked into the vacuum for the Mexico and the Philippines. And others are going to Africa. I'd like to go to Africa someday just to see what it's like. So we're working in Mexico and the Philippines. So I want to share with you a little bit about the work in Mexico. Background, we're going to therefore to teach all nations. So that's our command, our instruction. We're building on the work of Harry and Bill. There are many churches of Christ in Mexico, just like in the Philippines, and many parts of the world. The Church of Christ in general has spread throughout much of the world, if you didn't know that. Much of the world, there are churches of Christ, what we would call liberal churches of Christ. But other brethren have gone and spread the word, and the churches have resulted. In Mexico, there are many churches of Christ, liberal churches of Christ. In the city of Tijuana, which is just south of San Diego, from California, there are 20 churches of Christ in that one city. None of them that we're currently working with. But there are lots of churches of Christ, and that's... So we're not blazing brand new ground in the sense that the principles we stand for have never been heard. So our job is to preach and teach and encourage and strengthen the brethren, assist the brethren with their needs in the Philippines as well as in Mexico and in Africa. The people are poor. Pure and simple, the people are poor. We are rich. Every single one of you is rich compared to the people in these other countries. And my heart goes out to them, and I hope your heart goes out to them too, to help them and assist them sometimes in their physical needs, but also in their spiritual needs as well. So that's what we're there to do. So we seek to develop churches in other locations in Mexico. I'm supposed to be talking about Mexico here. Some of this applies to the other places as well. Just in case you don't remember your geography, this is the United States, and here we are in northeastern Alabama, and this is Arizona, and this is where I live. Well, it's only 1,661 miles from the camp here to my home. And I live in Arizona, and Dwayne and I, for 30 years or so, lived in Sierra Vista, Arizona. He was an elder for about 15 years, and I was an elder for about that long. And Brother Bill Yarbo was an elder. We had another elder. There were four of us as elders there for a while. So we were elders. We had jobs. And now we're retired, and we're able to do a little bit more. And then last year, about a year ago, Dwayne moved to Albuquerque. This is New Mexico, and he moved to Albuquerque because his two sons two of his sons lived there, and they had their children, Dwayne and Anita's grandchildren, so they wanted to be closer to their grandchildren. So I understand that. So they have moved. That's why Dwayne lives in Albuquerque, but he really is from Cedar Grove. Allow me to say that. How many of you have been to Sierra Vista, Arizona? Two people. It's not a large congregation. It's not small. We have about 40 people in our congregation, which is not that big. But we have four elders and we have four deacons. And we have 8 or 9, 10 people that speak in the congregation, rotate through. So it's a strong congregation, but we're not very big. Okay, that is the United States. Here's Arizona, and I wanted to show this because some of you have heard about the Grand Canyon. Maybe some of you have been to the Grand Canyon. Well, if you're at the Grand Canyon, you're only 400 miles away from where we live. I live, and that's the atmosphere of Mr. That's 400 miles from there down here. And so I live in Sierra Vista, way down here. My house is about 15 to 20 miles from the Mexican border. And so that's convenient for me to go to Mexico. I try to go over to Mexico once or twice or three times a month. I go over to Mexico. We have a number of congregations there. I'll show you in a minute. I can't go directly across the border, but I can go over here. We have a church in Agua Prieta that we work with. We have a church in Nogales over there that we work with, and some other churches that we work with. So I try to go over at least to the border congregations once a month, and then other trips that I make down into Mexico. Two people have been to Sierra Vista. This is a picture out of my, a terrible picture, I'll grant you that. My wife sent me this picture yesterday from out our back door. This is in my house. There's grass. It's not desert. It's not dry cactus desert where I live. It's grasslands, native grass. These are the mountains back there behind our house. We're about 4,600 feet of elevation, and these mountains, the peak of those mountains is 9,600 and some odd feet high. They're bare to live in those mountains. And deer and much wildlife live in these mountains. She sent me this picture because it started raining. For the next 2 months, it will rain, and we'll probably get 10 inches of rain in the next 2 months. So it's not dry desert. Now that's a rainy season, and the rest of the year is pretty dry, but for 2 months we get rain, and everything greens up, and the grass gets about this high, and it's nice. I really enjoy this time of year back there. Anyway, I wanted to show you the environment. It's not a desert where we live. Now, there are deserts in Arizona, and it's real hot. But where we live, it's not that hot. Everybody thinks Arizona's hot. Well, the temperatures where we live are about the same as here. Mid-90s, that's what we are there for the peak of the day. And it's usually not as humid as we are. Anyway, I just thought I'd show you what Sierra Vista back out my backyard looks like. A terrible picture, I realized, because I had to blow it up, and it's gotten real fuzzy. Anyway, in Mexico is more desert. Northern Mexico is very desert. In southern Mexico is tropical. And some of there, we have pictures of tunnels through trees in the southern part of Mexico. The northern part's desert, cacti, and very desert. Challenges in Mexico. Maybe you've heard it's dangerous to go to Mexico. We hear that all the time. Aren't you afraid to go to Mexico? No. Everywhere I go, except just across the border, I go with brothers in Christ. My brothers and sisters, fellow Mexicans, that go with me. They know the culture, they know the language. I have never felt fear in Mexico. It's beyond my comfort zone, I'll have to admit that. Every time I travel to another country, I think, Lord, this is beyond my comfort zone. Protect me, guide me, lead me, be with me. And He has. He's been with me every time. I pray to Him constantly to be with us. And He has protected and been with me. Now, in Mexico, there are times when you, in a city, that there will be trucks with soldiers with automatic weapons riding down the street. Now, you don't quite see that in the United States, but you do see that in Mexico. So there is violence down there. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just saying we haven't experienced anything down there. It's been safe for us. There is a lot of drug problems down in Mexico, a lot of drug violence in certain places in Mexico. But we have, God's blessed us, and we haven't had any problems. Most of the people, the vast majority of the people are just good people. They have the needs like you do, they have the needs like I do, they want to do what's, they want to obey the gospel, they're open to the gospel. They're just people. And so most of them are not thugs that are going to try to kill you. Culture is not too different than the United States. They have roads like we have, they have cars like we have, and trucks and buses, they have 7-Eleven stores that you can go to and buy anything just like you can here, you know, like a, I don't know what kind of convenience stores you have here, but they have them there. They have grocery stores there like grocery stores here. You can go to a grocery store and buy almost anything you want to in Mexico. Their culture is very similar, but the people are poor. The people we work with especially are poor down in Mexico, and they cannot afford a lot of things. Very few of the people we work with have cars. Most of them do not have cars. They have to take buses or other public transportation to get around. Okay, culture's not too much different. Cell phones. The whole world has cell phones. Africa has cell phones. Philippines has cell phones. Everybody's got a cell phone. And, of course, they don't talk on the cell phones. They text. Text is cheap, and so that's how they want to communicate, is with cell phone. Everybody's got a cell phone. So the culture is not that much different than our culture. They're just poor. People are the same. They commit sins just like people here commit sins. They commit adultery, other sins, lie. You know, they're people. They're not different. You know, they're not makeup. It's not different than us. They're just human beings. Now, the Catholic Church is very strong in the Philippines. Catholic Church is very strong in Mexico because Spain controlled both Mexico and the Philippines. And Spain, of course, is Catholic, and so they spread the Catholic religion there. But there are also many, in both of the Philippines and Mexico, many denominations. There's Church of Christ, there's Jehovah's Witnesses, there's Mormons, there's Methodists, there's Presbyterians, Baptists, all denominations down there as well, both in the Philippines and in Mexico. So those are similar to what we have here in the United States. People we work with are poor. Some are very, very poor. Of course, in Mexico, they don't speak English. They speak Spanish. Wayne didn't specifically mention it, but in the Philippines, let me divert from Mexico just for a second. Spain colonized the Philippines. And then around 1900, there was a Spanish-American War. You may have heard of it in your history. And the United States defeated Spain in the Spanish-American War. And the Philippines became a possession of the United States. And so the The United States took control of the Philippines up until World War II. And so, and then after World War II, the United States gave the Philippines their independence. So there are many people in the Philippines that speak English, not as their primary language, but as their secondary language. So there are many places that we went to in the Philippines that they understood us very well because they understood English. English is their second language. There are many places in the Philippines they don't speak English, and we had to use a translator so that they could understand us. In Mexico, Spanish, totally Spanish, they don't speak English. So that's a barrier. I am not fluent in Spanish. I get by, but I am not fluent in Spanish. I'm trying to learn, but the older you get, the harder it is to learn the language. And I'm struggling to learn the language of the Spanish. But I can get by. The current work. Here are the congregations that we work with in Mexico. The state of Sonora, which is just south of Arizona, there are these congregations. Aguapriel and Nogales are two border towns that we have congregations in them. Naco is another border town. Imuras and San Luis. These are five congregations that we're working with in the state of Sonora that's just south of Arizona. Then in Sinaloa, Sinaloa is a state right below Sonora, and we have two congregations, Los Mochis and Los Flores there. Sinaloa is a garden state. They're desert if they didn't have water, but they have lakes up in the mountains, and they have canals, and they water their fields, and it's very much farming community. Lots of crops. You go down the road, the highway, and there's wheat fields, and there's corn fields, and there's tomato fields. They got lots of vegetables that they grow down there, and they ship them to the United States. So Sinaloa is the garden state because they have irrigation water. Otherwise, it'd be a desert down there. So a lot of the people are farmers down in that part of the country. And then in the Yucatan, I'll show you the map a little bit. We have two congregations, Akash and Bekinchi. Current work, last month I went down to the city of Guadalajara. That's about midway in the country of Mexico. We don't currently have a congregation there. There are other liberal churches in the area. I went down there to try to establish a church, and we're still working down in Guadalajara. Guadalajara is the second largest metropolitan area in Mexico. They have 4 million people in Guadalajara. So it's a big city. And we're trying to establish a congregation down there. Okay, here's the map of Mexico. There's Sierra Vista, way up where I live up in Arizona, way up there. Nogales, the Sonora, the northern part there. Here's Los Mochis. So Los Mochis, there's two congregations, Los Mochis and Los Flores, here in Sinaloa. And then here's Guadalajara. I know I'm in front of somebody. But this is Guadalajara, the city I went to last month. And then here's the Yucatan. The Yucatan Peninsula is over here, and we've got a couple of congregations over here in the Yucatan. We have to fly here. I flew to Guadalajara, too. It's a long, long ways, thousands of miles, so we flew in the Yucatan. You might recognize that guy on the right there. This was taken a year and a half ago when Brother Harry and I, with this brother here, went down to the Yucatan. This in the background is the Caribbean Sea. Caribbean, however you want to pronounce it. So I went down there with Harry, and Harry and I went down also to Belize, a little bit into Belize. So Harry, this is sort of a handoff. Harry was handing this off to me. We went down together, and then he's saying, okay, now it's your job. You do it. This brother to the left here, this is the best picture I have of him. This is Brother Cesar. We would say Caesar, but his name is pronounced Cesar in Spanish. He's the main evangelist that we work with down here in Mexico. He's a Mexican, so he speaks the language and he knows the culture very well. Brother Cesar, like 10, 12 years ago, had an accident. He was on a ladder, fell off a ladder, busted his back up. And as a result, he cannot work. And I guess he's on welfare. He took that opportunity and he became a Christian and he studied the Bible and he's very knowledgeable about the Bible. And he's very conservative. I have not found a single thing that he and I disagree with. I think he's doctrinally straight. For some of you know the history of Mexico, we've had some deceivers that have in the past that we supported as evangelists, and they turned out they deceived us. I do not think Cesar is deceiving us. I've been in his house many times. He's poor. He knows the Bible. He is strong with the Bible. He's an excellent evangelist. He speaks some English. I speak some Spanish. We get along fine. And so we can communicate together. And I worked with Cesar. He walks with a cane. You see the cane that he has there? He walks real slow. He has a lot of health problems because of his bad back. He has diabetes. He's got other problems. But he says, I just want to serve my Lord. And what else can you ask for? That's exactly what we want. And that's what he wants to do. So he is our main evangelist. There are a couple other evangelists. That's a role. But he's our main evangelist down in Mexico. This is in the city of Nogales. I go over there. I try to go over there at least once a month. On the 15th of the month. And we have a little Bible study in a house. This is the house of Brother Abel and Sister Lourdes. And there's Brother Cesar. He lives in Nogales. And his wife, Margarita. And Brother Alfredo and Natalia. And you see in the back there, that tall guy? That's not a Mexican. That's even Scott, who lives in Denny, New Mexico. I don't know where the Scots are today. I guess they're not here. This is Sean Scott's father, Ian, and he goes over to Mexico with me. He speaks Spanish, and he goes over to Mexico with me. I'd like to have two of us going over there. Anyway, this is a little group that met two weeks ago. We met in their house there and had a Bible study. This is in Alfreta. There's a few of the people in the congregation here. Brother Pedro is the old man here. Brother Bill Yargo, he used to say, well, we're the same age. Yeah? And he's 90 years old now. And he's the main leader in the congregation here in Alfreta. We've worked with this congregation for many years. And this is in Las Flores. A small group in Las Flores. This is a congregation in I said Las Flores. That was Las Mochas. Los Mochas. This is Las... The previous picture was Los Mochas. This is Las Flores. This is a little congregation and church building that we've helped construct over here to the right. This is Brother Diego and his wife Patricia in Tecash in Yucatan. And there are three sons that they have there. He seems to be very straight. Dr. Lee have a small congregation there in their house. And this is in the city of Beckenchen. The two older gentlemen, Walberto and Perillo, were brothers that, as I understand the story, lived with Dowie. And were rough men, drunkards, and they... I guess Dana Chandler studied with them and converted them. And then they went back to Mexico and started a congregation in Mexico. So they have roots in Alabama for this congregation there. And so this is their little congregation that they have in Beckenchen in the Yucatan Peninsula. Okay, how do we help? Well, we help with money. They're poor, and so we help them with Bibles. They can't even afford a Bible. Many times in songbooks, we purchase for them in Spanish Bible, Spanish songbooks. Transportation, for the evangelist, they can't travel without, they can't afford the travel, whether it's buses or whether it's airplanes or whatever it may be, so we help them with transportation. There's some benevolence, they need food, they need clothes, they have medical emergencies, we help them with some of those things. We help them with the teaching and the doctrine. There's still a lot of maturity that needs to go with the brothers and sisters there. So that's briefly. I kept it short. That's the work that we're doing down in Mexico. And Lord's blessing us. It's not a great work. It's not a huge work. It's not thousands of congregations. But it is a work, and we're expanding it, and the Lord is blessing us in our work. We received an email yesterday afternoon from a brother in the Philippines. This is the email. This I didn't edit it. He is an English not very good. Beloved brother in the Lord, on behalf of our very important and sick brother, especially to our native brother, the back to the Chavalyan Paye and Pankat Abra de Ilo. We come to you again to beg of you help for food and medicine that they badly need at this point of time, brethren. When we visit them, brother, they cry and beg to help me for food and medicine because many of them suffer sickness and hunger. Sister Elena Zapatero, one of the faithful members here in Bagansiget Church of Christ, is also in dire need of help, brother. She is in the hospital because of serious ulcer and kidney failure, and she badly needs help at the present time for the medicines, food, and hospitalization. I visited her also yesterday. Yes, the brothers here are in dire need of help, brother. They are very, very happy to our visitation, but they're crying because of hardship. They're suffering with brother. What do you do? We get these emails all the time, primarily from the Philippines. And they say, we need help. Yesterday, I sent $500, which is some money that I had, to a sister that had dire needs, and sent some money. You need to send money to these people. I'm going to be very blunt with you, brothers. We don't have enough money to help them. And we get these emails, and I don't know what to do. And sometimes we have to say, no, we just don't have the money. But I'm going to be blunt with you. If you can help, we need help. We need additional funds to answer emails like this. If you or your church can help us and send some money for the work in the Philippines, please do so. Because my heart goes out to these people. They have needs. They're your brothers and your sisters in Christ. This verse weighs heavy on my heart. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother have need and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We are rich, they are poor, they have needs. So I beg of you, if it's possible with you, if you could send us something on a monthly basis, that would be great. We don't have enough money to help all the brothers that ask for needs. I know we can't solve all the problems in the world, and there are needs in Africa, and they need to be taken care of. People are even poorer in Africa, I'll admit that. But if you can help with the Philippines, we would appreciate help. I have a little money I'm going to send to this brother, God willing. Dwayne and I will get together and decide how much. That's what we do. Dwayne and I get together and we say, all right, we got this email. They're saying they have their needs. Are we going to help them? How much are we going to help them? And it's a burden. It used to be, when Harry was alive, Harry would call me up or I'd call Harry up. And we say, all right, we got this email. How much are we going to help? How are we going to do this? And Harry said, well, I'll help this time. And sometimes I'd say, well, I have money. I'll help this time. But Harry's gone. And it's a burden. It's a pleasant burden in the sense we know that we're helping people in need. But it's a burden that we need. We're asking for your assistance if you can help us. In addition, well, when we went to the Philippines a year and a half ago, I thought, here we're going to be gone a whole year. I can't cross the border into the Philippines like I can into Mexico. In Mexico, I can go over there, you know, pretty much whenever I think that there's a need and want to. The Philippines, we go once a year. Once a year, we spend 3 weeks in the Philippines. And then we're gone. The only communication we have is with email back and forth to the brothers and sisters there. They send us email, tell us what's happening, tell us the baptisms that are going on, tell us the work that they're doing, tell us the physical needs that they have. And so I thought, well, how can I keep in touch with these brothers? And so I decided to send, once a week, to send them an email of encouragement. So that's a chore that I've taken on myself, to write each week an email of encouragement to the brethren in the Philippines. And I thought, well, I might as well send it to brothers in the United States too. And so some of you received my email that I sent as an encouragement. It was originally for the Philippines, but I now send it to, I even sent it to some of the brethren in Africa. And I've got good feedback from you. If you'd like to be on my email list so that I send it to you directly, you can. Brother Ron Scott has it on his webpage, the list of these emails that I send out. Purpose is to encourage the brother. And so if you want to be on my email list, let me know. This is my email address. It's simple. Ed in Virginia. That's my email address. Virginia is my wife's name. Ed in Virginia at Hotmail.com. Song to the Church. Dwayne had mentioned it a little bit, but in many places in the Philippines, they speak English, and even if they don't speak English very well, they sing in English, because they don't have songbooks of their language. So they sing in English, and they use American songbooks. And most of the time, the songbooks that they use is the old songs of the church. Remember, we used to use that? Most of us used that 20 years ago or whatever. And they don't have enough songbooks. So my other request, my last request is, if you in your church have a box of these old songbooks that you're not using, and you could give them to us, we will, Lord willing, take them over to the Philippines so that they'll have more songbooks. So especially Songs of the Church, but if it's other versions of other old songbooks, they're not too picky, they'll take those too. So if your church has a box somewhere in the basement or in the back room of Songs of the Church, please tell me. Maybe we can go by and pick them up or whatever, and we'll take them as luggage the next time we go over to the Philippines. God willing, we'll be in favor. Any questions? Thank you.